So we got a packed show tonight.
Yeah, it's a we got a stacked docket.
We got a stacked docket, so we should get right to it. Right to it, to it.
We're full of beans.
We're full of beans. We're feeling wacky.
Feeling crazy.
If this is your first time listening, we are a talk show.
Yeah, we're a chat show.
We're a chat. We have fun. We really, the thing is we have fun.
That's rare with the radio. People talk about shock jocks. Shocking isn't fun for me.
No, I am like...
Yeah, if I whenever I stick a fork into an outlet and I get shocked, that's no fun for me.
No, or someone says something that incenses me.
Whoa, no way.
So first up today.
We have an interview with an interesting man.
We have an interview with an interesting person, a very interesting person. One of my currently, probably one of my favorite people.
Yeah, well, it hurts my feelings to hear.
No, I stand by that now that I kind of look you up and down. We spoke with Matt Farley.
Of Moturn Media.
Of Moturn Media, also known as Paparazzi and the Photogs, also known as...
One of the toilet bowl cleaners.
The toilet bowl cleaners, also known as the man who sings about, or the guy who sings about cities and places.
He's not a man.
It's something
it's like
that.
Prince.
He's like Prince. So he's got so many different aliases, and within these many aliases, he has written... 20,000 and released 20,000 songs,
which is incredible.
And he's also on top of that used that money to help finance movies, many of which you should check out, like Don't Let the River Beast Get You is free on YouTube. Check it out. And then that's if you like that one, he's got a whole catalog. We talk about it a lot in the interview, so why don't we go straight to it. Here is me and Jack and I
Tristan and I actually
talking to Matt Farley of Moturn Media. Sit back and enjoy. And after, we will have a special guest.
Yeah, we will. My name is Jack Lamming, and with me is...
Tristan Wheeler.
Yep. Here we are.
And we also have a very special guest.
A distinguished guest.
I find that he's a man who... Okay, so he's a man that has written 20,000 plus songs as of this... of June 2019, if I'm not mistaken. And he has also directed... movies, starred in movies, produced movies,
written, I'm assuming,
it with titles like Freaky Farley, Don't Let the River Beast Get You,
Metal Detector Maniacs,
which
coming
is
soon.
Coming soon. We are here with Matt Farley.
Hey, thank you so much. It's a thrill to know that anyone knows the titles of any of my movies. It's beautiful.
That was off the top of his head too.
Yeah, I've become a bit of a Moturn Media maniac myself. I think in the last month or so, and I think that's due to the Important Cinema podcast, which has done a lot of.
That's a great show.
Yeah,
even when they're not talking about me, I love it.
And yeah, because I think a lot of people have. I mean, maybe a good amount of people have heard about this guy who makes a lot of songs, and to realize that you also made movies was a revelation for me personally.
Beautiful, yeah. I mean, the movies still aren't making me any money or anything, but I've kind of had the same game plan for all of this stuff. It's like just keep on creating, In one of my songs, I have the refrain is "Give it time, and they will understand," which is basically my philosophy of creating art. It's like, so what if no one liked it in 2006? I'm gonna keep making more and more stuff, and then maybe by 2025, people will appreciate me. You know,
that's a good idea. That's what Orson Welles did. Like towards the end of his career, he was doing champagne ads to make his movies. And people love his movies.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
I hear Citizen Whatever Kane's it takes amazing.
And even late in his career, you know, he made a movie called F for Fake, which is like a superb documentary. Because and it's just cool because he was just still making it happen, still being scrappy, figuring out how he could get the funds together. He seems like he was probably difficult to work with, though.
Yeah, there was like that one movie that Netflix helped him finish, and then there's like behind the scenes footage, and he's like fighting like almost physically with John Huston or something like that. It's yeah, it's
hilarious. I mean, it's funny for us to watch it, but I don't think I'd want to be on that set, you know.
Yeah. Has there ever been any tense moments on a Moturn set? Obviously, I don't think you guys are physically fighting, but given that you're all kind of there on your own time, do things get tense, or has that ever happened?
No. And, you know, it's because we work hard to prevent it. Like, you know, we always just make sure that we're all on the same page in realizing that it doesn't matter. It's not a big deal. Probably no one's going to watch the movie anyway. There's no matter how hard we try, we're not going to get it right anyway. So let's just use the first take, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, we get overworked, we get tired, but everyone stays civil with each other and works together to accomplish the task. And then the beauty of it is, you know, after like a 3-day weekend of relentless filming, everyone just goes home and we don't do it again for like a couple months. So it gives you a chance to just like recover.
So related to that,
We just want to ask you about the new movie Metal Detector Maniac. So you're just talking about how you produce your movies. You said that you wanted to make it a few days a month this time. I just want to know what why that is and like what the drawbacks are of making a movie in like fits and starts.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely there's major advantages to doing it all at once. And we used to do it more like Freaky Farley, for the most part, was like a 2.5-week nonstop filming situation. And, you know, back then I just lived alone. You know, it was just me. I worked 3 days a week and the rest of the time I was recording music. But for that stretch, I took a couple weeks off work. Charlie, the director, flew over and just stayed at my apartment the whole time. And we had no obligations. We were young and free. And so that's something we could pull off back then. But by the end of it, I mean, we're just, like most people take their vacation to relax. We do it to work even harder on a project that loses us money, you know, so it's crazy. But so now for this one, it's just like, you know, I got two kids and a wife and you know, it's too much. I can't just have my 40-year-old friends sleeping on the couch for 20 days straight. You know, it's just simply not going to happen. So, and also, like, I don't know, I'm getting old and like weak. I can't physically do that many, you know, 16-hour days in a row. So, there's lots of, like, I'm sure our hair from scene to scene is going to go longer and shorter and then longer again. And there's lots of drawbacks to doing it this way. But at this point in our life, it's really our only option.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So maybe to give, before we kind of go more in depth, maybe we should give sort of like the main backgrounder on you is your music. And that's kind of like from my understanding, your main sort of, that's your job essentially at this point, correct?
Oh yeah. For more than 3 years now, I've been making enough money off music to live, and it's been wonderful.
So why didn't you take a, like, just like explain to the listener kind of how that works? Cause I feel like you could probably do it the best, better than
yeah.
I could.
So, you know, I've been a big fan of just like producing a lot of art forever since high school, really. Long before it earned me any money, but I got to the point where I was really good at just churning out material, and my friends and family would often question the quality of such of my material, but I would say, give it time and they'll understand. And so by the time I was like almost 30, I had released 25 albums, and they were a lot of just heartfelt, great singer-songwriter compositions. And also, though, I have a silly side, and like every album would have a couple of just wacky songs on them. And in 06, I made the realization that the only songs making me money were the silly ones. And by making money, I mean the songs were earning like $4 a year, mm-hmm. which is not a lot. You know, most people would look at those stats and say, well, I'm almost 30 years old. It's time to quit. But I looked at the stats and I said, oh, I know what to do. I just need to write thousands of songs about unusual topics, because clearly people are going into iTunes. You know, if you type in the word love, you're going to find a million different songs. But if you type in the word monkey, you find not so many songs. And so my song called Shut Up Your Monkey was earning a little bit of money from people who are just curious by the title. So then I spent the next 10 years writing 20,000 weird songs about food, animals, songs with people's names in them, songs about the weather, and of course songs about poop, which is very profitable.
Yeah. I was reading your Wikipedia page and it said that kids triggering Alexa to sing the song about poop makes you, I think it said it was probably your most profitable song. Did you see the rise of Alexa coming? Like songs that kids would know, like, hey, I can say that poop and pee and stuff like that. Was that something that you knew was somewhere in the distance?
No, I didn't foresee that specifically, but it was a similar principle. Like when I started doing it, it was more just from searching on iTunes. Back even before streaming, just for downloading MP3s. But as things have progressed in terms of technology, it's just gotten better and better for me. Because, you know, like a song like called Poop Into a Wormhole, you might not spend 99 cents to buy it, you know? But if it's free for you to just stream it, you're like, you know, why not?
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of people complain about the payment rates of streaming, but I think streaming is good for music and good for artists, especially good for independent artists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that your most profitable songs were getting like $4 a year. What's the smallest royalty check anyone's ever cut to you?
Well, I mean, it all comes through one. All the money is funneled into CD Baby, which is like an independent music distributing thing. So It's not like I get a check from each company. It's just it all goes to them, and then I get the check every month. But I can look at the numbers that come through from different companies, and YouTube especially does not pay well. You know, so like you see one stream for 0.0001 cents or something like that. But you know, luckily the other services pay better, you know, and it just adds up, you know. I'm not a billionaire or a millionaire. I'm a thousandaire though.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm satisfied with that, you know, just to be making a middle-class salary while, you know, working in the basement singing, I'm happy.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I know you've in the past mentioned you don't like swearing, but are there any kind of more unusual other than like the obvious limits to what you'd want to sing about in a song or
you know, I just try to keep things for the most part positive. Sometimes I let out a little rage here or there in my songs, but you know, some people have suggested doing songs about like illnesses, and it's like, I don't know. I don't want some poor guy who's suffering from diabetes to suddenly hear me being like, diabetes, oh yeah, you know? So
yeah.
I draw the line at illnesses for the most part. Although I do have a swine flu song. I couldn't help myself.
Is there going to be a, do you know if there's a COVID song in the works, or is that steering clear of that?
I'm staying staying far away from that. And I like all of these diseases, they come and then they go, and they're old news pretty quickly. So I try to write about things that are going to stay relevant for a long time.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. are there any, you have obviously your movie empire and your music empire. Are there any other mediums that you're looking at getting into?
Well, live performances is something that I've been delving into more, and I almost never used to do it. But a couple of years ago, I started my a yearly extravaganza. It's called the Moturn Extravaganza, and it's a 5.5-hour show. And you know, it's I still lose money on it every year, but people have traveled from Europe, Australia, Canada, all over the U.S. for the show. It's like, it's so much fun. A little community is starting to form, you know, like people who've come every year kind of know each other now. And so it's kind of like part convention, part concert. I do four sets with the band, and the band is just friends of mine from when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And in between sets, at the end of every set, I say, "It's time to socialize." And I force everyone to socialize with each other. And most of them are like me, you know, introverted, scared, anxious little people who need a push. So, you know, we all come out of our shells and have a grand old time. The next one's in October, and I can't wait. It's like summer camp or something, even though it's in the fall. Mm-hmm. Just a chance to see all your pals again.
If our listeners are interested, where is the World Moturn Day Extravaganza?
Yeah. Well, it's not called that anymore. It's called Moturn Extravaganza.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Because I used to, the first one was on World Moturn Day, which is my birthday, and it's also a international holiday that I created where all people are supposed to listen to my music. Then the next year I called it that, but it was held the day before. And one ticket buyer showed up the day after the show and called me and was like, "Hey, I'm at the venue. I don't see anybody." I was like, "Oh no." So like I went over there and hung out with the guy for a couple hours just to, you know, he had driven up from Virginia. Yeah, you know, he had driven 10 hours or something.
God. Oh my God.
Miss the show. But we had a grand old time. He has no regrets, he says. But anyway, the next one is October 24th. And then the next day is the premiere of Metal Detector Maniacs. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be a good weekend.
And that's in Danvers, Massachusetts, right?
Oh, yeah. Danvers, Massachusetts. I'm a big proponent of just like, you know, one of my movies is called Local Legends. And like one of the thesis statements of the movies is of that movie is like, you know, don't go to L.A. or New York to try to make it in entertainment. Stay where you are. Stay surrounded by like real people. Like if you go to a place where there's a bunch of artists, you're just surrounded by artists. And then you just like start thinking like each other, sort of like it just like an echo chamber of artistic people. And frankly, as an artistic person, I can let you know, you don't want to be surrounded by a lot of people like me, you know? So I need some regular people who do other jobs to kind of keep my worldview open. And then it's just more it has that local flavor. So I'm a big fan of staying where you are and creating art rather than. And I mean, another motto is make them come to us. You know, like people always say, are you going to go try to make it in New York? And I'm like, no, I'm going to make them come to me. It hasn't worked yet, but hey, why not?
Yeah. If you could have an unlimited budget for the extravaganza, you could get anything or anyone you could possibly ever want. What would you do? Like, what would you have on the show? What would be there?
Oh, wow. That's interesting. You know, I mean, I'd get a bigger venue, lower the price so more people could come. But, I mean, you know, I wouldn't, like, want to get some big-name act or anything to perform with me because that kind of goes against the whole local legend view of things. Maybe a few costume changes, but I'd be pretty frugal with that unlimited budget. Maybe I'd pay myself an exorbitant salary, though. So
no strobe light effects on poop in your fingernails or something like that? Or
Yeah. You know, members of the band are often saying to me that we need to, like, improve the lighting and whatnot in the show. And I'm very reluctant because, again, it feels like it goes against my whole outlook. It's like I'm trying to – truth and entertainment is another one of my mottos. And just, like, I don't want to hide behind flashy lights. I just want to be, like, a real person right up there, you know, being myself. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. But especially Pete, the bassist, he's giving me trouble all the time. He's like, look, we need billowing sheets. He's big on billowing sheets.
Like in the background, like hanging?
Yeah, he wants like sheets hanging from the wall with fans underneath them. We have long discussions about billowing sheets. It's hilarious.
I wanted to get back to keeping it local in Massachusetts. I want to ask, what's the ideal way to make coffee milk?
Okay, well, I mean, keep in mind, I'm out of my mind, okay? But I like to make it, with whole milk, and then so let's say 60% whole milk, and then 30% coffee syrup, and then, I'm not joking, 10% half and half cream.
Oh, my God.
Because I like it. Yeah, I know. It's awful. It's bad. I don't your doctor wouldn't recommend it, but, oh,
it
delicious.
Sounds incredibly indulgent.
Yeah, it sounds great, though.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I have some coffee milk in my fridge as we speak, and because they around here they actually sell it like, you know, in a bottle already mixed up, just like chocolate milk, you know. But I also have coffee syrup in my fridge as we speak. But I try to not drink it every day because it is indulgent.
So up here in Vancouver, I've never heard of coffee milk until. You're watching your movies and stuff. So is the coffee syrup, is it like a similar sweetness level as like Hershey's chocolate syrup?
Yeah, for sure. But it's not as thick. Not as thick as Hershey's. It's a little bit more watery. And it's biggest in Rhode Island, which is the state just south of Massachusetts. It's the tiniest state in the union. Mm-hmm. I went to college there at Providence College, and that's where... No, I had coffee milk here, but I mean, it's much bigger in Rhode Island where, you know, I mean, they went through the trouble of naming it the state drink. So that's that's something.
So as someone who's written 20,000 songs, you are, I think it's safe to say you're a music fan, probably a music expert, maybe one of the most qualified people about music ever, because if you just look at the hours put in, I'm sure you blow a lot of people out of the water. So we wanted to ask you your opinion on a few specific songs and just you could like kind of give your thoughts, maybe give a score out of 10 or something like that. So number one on the list, or number one, not on the list, but number one I'm going to give to you is, do you know the song Steal My Sunshine by Len?
Oh, yeah.
Let's hear your thoughts on that song.
Oh, I think it's very catchy and very fun. Every time it goes on, everyone just kind of feels happy. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
Where could it gain some points?
The production, there's something. The production is very much of its time in a way that, at least for me, isn't great. You know, it just feels... Is it late 90s or early 2000s?
Yeah,
it's
in that kind of that pocket. I don't know the exact year, to be honest.
1999.
Yeah.
1999,
thanks. Yeah. So, I mean, you put it on and it sounds like 1999, which for me at least isn't a sweet spot of music production. I mean, I'll take 99 over the average song from like 87, but still, it still feels a little overproduced for my taste. But the composition itself and the recording, though, it, you know, other than that quibble, it's real good.
Okay, interesting.
Back to, I think, the 90s. Hey Mickey by Tony Basil. What do you think?
Help me out with Hey Mickey. I don't know if I've
heard that. Hey Mickey,
you're
so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind.
Okay. That's 80s. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. I think that song is fantastic. I love it. It sticks in your head wonderfully. It's fun. Yeah, I give it 9 out of 10.
9 out of 10. Wow. So,
yeah. You know what? Wait. Sunshine just got brought down. Sunshine's 7 out of 10. Mickey is 8 out of 10.
Pales in comparison.
So, yeah, I think the catchiness is a bit. So, 9 out of 10. You said 9 out of 10, right?
Well, I just wanted it above Sunshine, but I don't want to like paint myself in a corner. So, Sunshine's down to 7 and Mickey's down to 8.
Oh, okay. So then I guess I'd ask the same question as those two extra 2 points. Where do we think Mickey could make some ground road?
Well, you know, I mean, it's very good for what it is. I don't know how it can be better. But in a world, you know, in the history of music where Beethoven exists, Chopin, Paul McCartney, me, you know.
The Titans.
You can't give Mickey 10 out of 10. Otherwise, I mean, where are you going to go?
Yeah. So where would you put like a Beethoven? If you just could, so the entire oeuvre, where would that be on out of 10?
Yeah, I'll give him a 9 out of 10. And, you know, it probably should be a 10, but just he's too respected. You know, like the contrarian in me is going to hold. It's kind of like when baseball is voting for the Hall of Fame, and like one guy doesn't vote for Derek Jeter just because he's like no one should get unanimous votes, you know. So right. It's spiteful.
Okay, sweet. The third song we have for you, "Life Is a Highway" by Tom Cochran.
I'm gonna give that a 2 out of 10.
Oh,
I don't like it. I don't like anything about it. I don't like when it comes on and I see people reacting positively to it. I get upset. I write those people off. I say, I don't respect that person anymore. So, you know, and just like the all night long part is really, really just puts a bad taste in my mouth. It's one thing. Life is a highway. I want to ride it. It's like, okay, fine. But then there's that little pause, and then they're like, all night long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, it's too much. And are they making, you know, inappropriate innuendos there, perhaps? I don't know. But it's not doing it for me.
Yeah. So, you did give it not a 0. What would you say those 2 points are coming from?
Well, it's a competent composition. There is a certain catchiness to it. So, I mean, in a world of, you know, billions of people currently on Earth, I'm sure many of them are making worse sounds than that.
You're a harsh marker. Competence gets you 2 out of 10.
But Beethoven gets a 9.
Yeah, I'm glad you're not a teacher. That would be just brutal.
I do agree with you on Life is a Highway, though.
We do have to give it some credit because it mentions Vancouver in it.
Does it?
It does. It goes from the Khyber Pass to Vancouver's lights, or apparently a lyric of it. I don't know the lyrics of any of the songs I've ever heard.
Yeah,
apparently.
But I do like songs that mention specific locations, though, very much. Just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, you have several albums of just, you know, man who sings about cities and towns. So I think showing some people in the office I work at, I was playing your Vancouver is a Good Place song just because I'm like, this guy even has a song about Vancouver.
Isn't it hard to convince other people to like me, by the way?
It's tough to explain.
It's so hard to explain. Yeah. And people just recoil no matter what you tell them about me. Like, they need to find it on their own somehow. Like, you know, I try still to sell my, you know, to convince people to like me in person, and it's a losing battle.
Well, you're doing you've made it to Canadian University Radio, so.
And that's the tip top.
That's the tippity top.
We call it the show.
Yeah, and that the Important Cinema Club, you know, like that's a cool thing because they're objective guys that you trust. They have good opinions about a lot of other things, and so when they did an episode on me, I've gotten a lot of interest because of those episodes. So I'm super super honored and grateful that they like my stuff. But I just need more of them.
Yeah, I mean, they pointed me in the direction of your movies. I even got the Local Legends Blu-ray.
Yeah. I bought five of them. It's such a thrill, such an honor to be treated, you know, because I'm a big fan of film criticism. I'm a fan, you know, like I used to read so many different movie books as a kid. I just loved it, you know, like I watch a movie and then I want to read everything about it. And to have these guys that I respect treating my movie like it's worthy of analysis, like that is, oh, that's so wonderful.
Well, yeah. We're talking about love of movies and stuff like that. Who are some of your dream collaborators, whether it's music or movies, like a director, producer? Who would you love to work with if you could?
Yeah, well, frankly, I mean, I just want to work with myself and my friends for the most part, you know. In terms, like, we always need more actors. Like, for instance, the guy I make movies with, Charlie, he and I were talking about a movie we might make in a few years about, it would be like a sports movie about a local basketball team. And we were brainstorming, and we were like, maybe we should ask Stephen Malkmus of Pavement if he wants to be in the movie, you know, like, I don't know, what's an average day like for him, you know, and how many offers is he getting? Wouldn't it be Malkmus is the only person I want to collaborate with.
Is there a particular reason?
Not musically.
Or is there a particular reason? Like, has he expressed interest in you? Or are you just like picking out of the air, Stephen Malkmus?
Well, we both love his music, Charlie and I, and he just seems like a cool, you know, a cool dude. And it's, you know, and also it's funny to want him not for music, but for a movie about a local sports team, you know. But you know, dare to dream. But then, you know, otherwise, in terms of influences, movies, I don't know. Alfred Hitchcock is one of my favorite directors. Orson Welles, too, for sure. And musically, just, you know, Bob Dylan, Beatles, stuff like that.
Yeah, the classics, the pillars of modern music.
If you had the opportunity, would you collaborate with Beethoven?
I'd want to pull him into the more silly stuff. Like he gets real heavy and emotional in a lot of his pieces, and I'd just be wanting him to lighten up.
Yeah, it'd be like Beethoven's P, the fifth or something like that, like fifth movement piss or something.
Second movement.
Yeah. Yeah, second movement. Yeah. Well,
I like.
Thank you so much, Matt, for taking the time out of your evening to chat with us. It's been a really cool experience to, as someone who's seen a lot of your movies and listened to the music. It's cool to, you know, hear it from the horse's mouth, as they say.
Well, this has been a thrill for me, absolutely, and a fun conversation. So, thank you so much. And I'm just saying, Boston is a wonderful city to visit, especially because it's near Danvers. So I do a monthly show also. So if you ever come east, try to have it coincide with one of my shows.
For sure. That'd be awesome. Is there any other like plugs you wanted to tell the people of Vancouver?
Yep. If you just want to call me and have a delightful conversation about anything, my personal phone number is 603-644-0048.
Awesome. Right. I mean, that's as best of a plug as I've ever heard.
Yeah, plugging yourself, it's good.
Yeah, just your personal contact information. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for the time, and keep I'm looking forward to Metal Detector Maniacs, more music. But yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Peace out.
Listening to CITR FM 101.9, Vancouver's home of rock and roll.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial, open 11 to 6, 6 days a week. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial, open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Tune in to Too Dreamy, Fridays from 1 to 2 p.m. on CITR, featuring music from local female and non-binary musicians and some sweet bedroom pop tunes.
The AIDS Vancouver Helpline is here to help. Open from 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, the Helpline answers questions about HIV and safer sex. Call to find medical support in your area without giving your name. Run by volunteers, the Helpline is one of the many programs from AIDS Vancouver combating the HIV epidemic in the Lower Mainland. While not medical professionals, our volunteers answer your questions confidentially and anonymously. The Helpline number is 604-696-4666. Or contact us at aidsvancouver.org.
Oh, hello.
Hi again.
You're listening to Radio Pizza Party on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from
the
unceded
territories of the Musqueam people on the campus of the University of British Columbia.
Yes, and what you just listened to...
What you just experienced.
What you just listened to were some ads.
Yeah,
so
before that...
We were talking to Matt Farley, a.k.a. Moturn Media mogul Matt Farley.
If you start your own media company, are you technically a media mogul?
I would say, well...
Like, does that automatically bump you into that category? Like P. Diddy, obviously,
yeah.
Media mogul. He has his own record label.
Yeah.
If we... Can we, like, be smaller moguls?
Do you think we're Radio Pizza Party moguls? Like, media... I guess
We need to start an LLC.
We need to add the media to it.
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll do that later.
I'm a bit of a social media mogul.
Well, I don't know.
So we were talking to Matt Farley, the man who has written and released 20,000 songs, countless movies, but
countless hits.
But he's released, I believe, about 9-ish movies. Probably getting that wrong. But check out, like I said, "Don't Let the River Beast Get You" is a good one.
Yep.
"Druid Gladiator Clones" is fun, and. I haven't seen it, but Freaky Farley is apparently a really good one as well. So check all those out.
Yeah. I just thought of an idea for a warning poster for manatees. Don't let the river boat get you, because they cut them up.
Oh, for the manatees.
Yeah.
So it'd be underwater.
In manatee, whatever their script is.
Oh, their language.
In their language. It says, watch out down there. Those propellers. I feel like that's less of an issue these days. You know,
really?
When you were a kid... People were always talking about manatees being.
I wonder if that's
riverboats.
Because we were more interested in manatees as children because they were like a cool animal.
That's true. Now that I'm a man, I don't think about them as much.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I am Tristan.
I'm Jack,
and we are here with a special guest. You might remember him from 2 years ago on one of our
classics
within the
it's
first
on the vinyl.
It's on vinyl. We've pressed it, released it. One of the first few episodes I think we ever did. We are here with Nathan Hare.
Hi there. Thanks for having me. 2 years. This show has evolved. I can't wait to see how it's changed
so
for the better.
Changed.
Yeah.
Oh, and how about how it's changed for the worst? You might recognize those moments as well.
Yeah.
We'll see. I feel like you guys have really solidified your voice in the last 2 years.
Yeah, we've tried to talk at the same time as much as we can.
Yeah.
Which is easier now.
It's easier now. Oh, was that you trying to?
I was trying to goad you into that, but you didn't bite.
Well, it is because we have learned to harmonize our voices.
That was really beautiful.
Thanks. Thank you. So Nathan, you are sketch comedian, stand-up comedian as well.
Yes.
What's that like? What's the world going up on stage, making the people laugh? And sometimes these are trying times, and you're up there, and just being the truth sayer, the truth teller.
Oh, absolutely. Speaking reason to this crazy messed up world we live in. Yeah, that's exactly how I approach it.
Yeah.
Comedy in general. No, I mean, right now it feels weird. I feel like truth be told, this week I haven't thought about comedy for 1 second.
Really? Okay. Why is that? I don't know if there's anything.
I've been focused on the dramatic arts, really.
Oh, yeah. So you switched your masks.
Yes,
you,
totally.
You took the comedy one down. Mm-hmm. Just the tragedy mask.
Put the comedy mask in the drawer.
Yeah.
And removed the dramatic mask from the medicine cabinet. Placed it on my face and took to the streets and have been busking dramatic arts, Shakespeare soliloquies, going at it.
I knew that you could wax poetic. I didn't know that you could busk dramatic.
Yeah.
That's an interesting.
So you've
trade.
Taken the time aspect out of the equation.
Yes.
And now comedy yet.
So you can't, so no equals comedy, just tragedy.
I went into a classroom that had that equation written on the board, tragedy plus time equals comedy, and I removed it also. It just said tragedy, and then Patton Oswalt came in, and what's his stand-up special called?
I think it's tragedy, I don't know, comedy plus time equals
tragedy
or something
went,
like that.
He went, and wrote it in, and then I took the and then all these kids were getting mad at us. They were interrupting their class. Why are these grown men in there?
I mean, it's good that they were upset that you were interrupting their education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if I was a kid, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
And
teachers suck.
Well, we all know the two classic things that were so awesome in class were when the teacher rolled in the TV and you watched Bill Nye.
Yeah.
And when a 24-year-old struggling comedian from Vancouver came in and started erasing stuff on the blackboard.
But then the voice of Remy from Ratatouille comes in, and then you're like, you're freaking out.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. What's your guys' cultural memory of Ratatouille?
I remember everybody talking about it. I've never seen Ratatouille.
What?
I remember everybody talking about
it.
I know I would. I like food. but I never saw it. So I remember thinking, hey. Similar to that, I didn't see WALL-E for like 2 years after it came out. Now it's one of my favorite movies.
Nice. I remember I was watching it with my dad, and he had a friend named Remy. And
poor guy.
And he was talking to another guy on the phone while we were watching this movie, because I think it was like a daytime watch.
What a thing to do.
It was a daytime watch, and he's like, hey, I'm watching Remy cook some food right now, to his friend, who also knew Remy, so that's what I think of.
Sweet.
So your dad was just taking a phone call during the movie?
Yeah.
Loudly at home?
Bold move.
Wow. That's a cool attitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does he ever do that in movie theaters?
Yeah, but he's usually calling just the front desk, being like, hey, really glad that you put this movie on. I'm enjoying it.
Nice.
Leaving a review.
Yeah, leaving a review to them.
I don't know if I like the ending of it, but
I'll call you back in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm so glad they have those little phones there attached to the seats by the cup holders.
Yeah,
it's so awesome.
It's so quaint, like a police phone booth.
It's yeah,
like fun.
Totally.
You're like,
yeah.
You're in England or something.
It's the two parts,
totally.
One to speak in and one to...
Operator. <Yeah. laughs> Why don't we go to our first segment?
One of the classics. I don't think this had been instituted when you were first on.
I don't even think we had segments then. I think we tried to just like talk the entire time then, which is exhausting.
Nonstop.
Which was brutal. Wow. Yeah. It was grueling.
There would be no pauses. Just as soon as someone stopped, you'd be like, just yeah, jump
you had
right
to
in.
Speak. It just had to be words.
So this is some news to discuss. Once the... There we go. Well, it's been a big week of news.
Yeah. The first item we'll get to now, Bill Gates left because he was bored. Oh, I mean, he left the board of Microsoft.
Wow.
What do you think of that?
I didn't know this until you told me this, which is, I guess, the same for a lot of information.
Yeah, that's how news usually works. Yeah, you don't know it till it someone gets told to you.
Yeah. That's why
it doesn't like come to you in a dream, yeah. And then you're like, "Oh, my dream was right."
It's on the papers.
Yeah. What do you think of Microsoft, Nathan?
I don't use any of their products in my daily life.
No,
I don't think. I don't have. Maybe. No, I can't think of any. I don't know.
You don't use like a Microsoft computer, or an Xbox.
I am constantly gaming. Yeah. No, I don't have an Xbox. I have an Apple computer.
Oh, PC. Hey, PC crowd, bro.
Yeah, there you go.
Apple.
Oh, Apple.
This is an Apple radio show.
Oh, okay.
Come on.
This is a Beats One show.
Yeah, do you not listen to the ads, man?
Yeah.
You're sponsored by the iPhone.
This is like you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about politics, and you don't talk about Apple or PC.
Yeah. Remember what? That used to be a debate, and I feel like it's not really a thing anymore, right?
Well, Justin Long, he's just not that famous anymore. Yeah. John Hodgman, though.
Is kind of like comedy notoriety. Yeah. I feel like we had a family friend in Washington who like grew up with Bill Gates. Because my dad was friends with the founder of Yahoo and played on a baseball team with him when he was like a kid. And I'm combining so many stories right now, but apparently Bill Gates like was a bit of a dick when he was younger.
Is that really?
This is true. This is what my dad has told me.
Like a baseball asshole.
Well, he didn't play baseball with Bill Gates, but I know that these two things are connected somehow. My dad was on a baseball team with someone involved in the early Yahoo.
Okay.
In early Yahoo.
Yeah.
And
it was just Who.
What an era.
It was just Who, yeah. everyone's favorite era of Yahoo. And then also apparently, yeah, and then like Bill Gates is somehow connected to that story and that he like was not a very nice person. But he seems like a nicer person now.
Yeah. Was he a question?
He was the umpire?
I was going to say, did he say, we need a pitcher, not a belly itcher, to your dad?
Yeah, he did say that. Oh, yeah.
That's not what you do.
That's brutal.
No.
I wouldn't handle that.
It's a faux pas.
And the worst part was they were playing Kinect baseball on the... Oh. Do you remember that?
I don't know if I ever played it, but I appreciate that.
That's what it was called, right? Like the video thing for Xbox?
Kinect.
Yeah.
Because you play it with your next of kin.
Yeah. Kinect.
Yeah. Generation. It was like when grandpa calls you down.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't be grandpa. It'd be when your dad? Wow. Sorry, guys.
That's previous of kin. You have to play it with your kids.
Right. I guess what I'm saying, like, your dad would call you to the living room.
Right.
And
yes.
We're playing Kinect. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 3 a.m. You don't know where he's been all day.
Yeah.
He's steaming drunk.
Yeah. So, Jack, what do you think of Microsoft?
I had Microsoft computers for most of my life.
Wow.
I was from a... Yeah. My dad had a big... All of our windows had the Windows logo taped over them.
Big Windows fan.
Yeah. It's like, these are the only windows we need in our house.
Yeah.
And then I got an iPhone, and I was like, this is cool. And then I got a MacBook. And once you have those two... I feel like it's hard to break out of that because they work really well together. So I haven't bought a Microsoft product in a long time. I keep buying Xbox games, and then I bring them home to my PS4, and I'm like, got to go return these again.
Yeah.
I'm a fool.
You could just return the PS4.
I guess. Yeah, I do have like 60 Xbox One games now.
Oh, yeah, so it's more economical to just get an Xbox.
Yeah, that's true. Tristan, what do you think? I'm looking at a Dell over there.
I know, but... Is Microsoft...
You're looking at Adele, and she's singing her famous song while we were young.
Yeah,
we were young.
We don't have her microphone on because we can't afford the rights to that.
Gotta turn that microphone on. It's so beautiful.
The thing is, I was just thinking, I don't think I can, like, most people can go a day without using some sort of Microsoft product. Because I think, because Intel, is that a Microsoft thing? Or is
no,
that an Intel?
Intel is, no. is its own company.
Oh, okay.
Chips.
Never mind that.
Your theory is immediately proven incorrect.
But I feel like Microsoft is, like, these, there's probably some sort of Microsoft stuff in this room.
Well, they
this
do
radio
a lot of cloud stuff. Like, you know how Amazon has AWS? Like, Netflix runs on Amazon.
Oh.
Like, tons of huge websites because they have all these servers.
Yeah.
Microsoft has that too. So you're probably right. But not for the dumb reason you said. Do you want to get to the next piece
yeah,
of news?
Yeah, the next piece of news. University of Alberta is going to fire 400 people. Wow.
No context for why?
No, I don't know why.
Do you want to just speculate wildly? I'm guessing dog fighting ring.
Do you think 400 people are involved in a dog fighting ring?
Yeah, it could be.
I think that.
I don't know. How big does a dog fighting ring have to be?
I guess minimum one guy.
With two dogs. That's true. Or I guess, one dog and a dog-shaped
pillow.
You
might need two people. One person to be placing the bet. The other person to administer
the bet.
Yeah,
nobody does it for fun. That would be really messed up.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
And you'd need a ref, right?
Oh, and you'd need, of course, like someone taking stats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think dogs have trading cards? This is just, I want to back out of this.
Journalist on site for The Ringer, a similar publication.
Deadspin these days. Just coming.
Yeah.
Well, all the, yeah.
So what do you think? 400 people fired. What do you think this could be?
What could it be?
This is at the University of Alberta, so that's Edmonton.
Yeah.
What does Edmonton conjure in my mind as a reason?
The mind's eye.
That, honestly, just kind of, that news kind of makes me sad. I hope everyone's okay.
Fair.
Yeah.
Oh, I am looking at 400 bad people.
Oh, bad people?
Yeah.
Okay, then.
I was on the right track.
Yeah. What's a good reason to, yeah, like maybe people were just like, maybe a bunch of employees that were partying in the dorms.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Lampshade on the head.
Yeah.
That's too much. You can't do that. Yeah. Maybe there were profs that would mark too hard. Like they had it in for a student.
Oh, like.
All my profs have it in for me.
Yeah.
That's why my grades are so bad.
That's so true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, my teachers hate me.
It's so weird. I don't know what the deal is.
Next piece of news.
Yeah. The Dead Sea Scrolls are so fake, like totally two-faced.
Did you hear about the Dead Sea Scrolls? No. Partly faked.
So what are the Dead Sea Scrolls?
That's actually, I don't entirely know myself.
I took a class that spent 2 months on the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Okay.
So they are a very, very early version of the Hebrew Bible. They were found in a cave in the 40s, and there's like 100 copies or so of the Bible in all these different versions, and they were found in jars in a cave, and they're from like
in
400.
Jars,
yeah,
wow.
In like all stone jars, and then there was a bunch just on the ground, and because it was by the Dead Sea, there's like no water, so they didn't. Well, of course there's water, but there's there's no rain, so they didn't rot at all, which is why they're around after 2,000 years.
I was worried that it was the Dead Sea, S-E-E.
Scrolls?
Scroll.
Like, oh, so it's like a Sixth Sense.
Yeah.
For
scrolls.
Yeah, I Dead Sea Scrolls.
The Dead Sea Scrolls.
It's somebody else talking about Haley Joel Osment. But he like heard it third hand. He's like, this kid's saying the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's something going on.
Oh, when I heard that line the first time? Oh, shivers.
Yeah, that was classic movie making. Yeah.
I just heard the craziest thing.
What do you think of the Dead Sea, Nathan?
The Dead Sea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, I'm on board with seas.
Yeah.
I like them. I like to visit more of them. I feel like I'm trying to think of what seas I've actually visited.
Yeah.
Atlantic, Pacific.
Those are oceans.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so what are the seas? Red?
Red.
Dead.
Red Dead
Redemption. That's where they got it from.
Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't been to the Mediterranean. But is there a Caribbean Sea? Or is it the Gulf of Mexico?
Loads. But there can be seas within oceans. There's a Bering Sea.
Oh,
and
right.
There's
seas within. Wow, I really don't know my bodies of water. I'm showing my ignorance on this topic.
Yeah. You didn't get that document I sent you? It was 30 pages.
I skimmed it, but I was working on a donut, and my hands were all dirty. I didn't want to touch my trackpad. So.
Yeah, fair.
I mean, considerate of your computer. That's mm-hmm. Yeah.
Next, in 2 years when we have you back, we'll go through that one again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Every 2 years. But I think the next segment should be a 2 year catch up, but continue on with the news.
We have our play sheet written down, all right? Try to hijack the show. Yeah.
All right.
I'm so sorry to try to hijack the show.
Well, that was some news to discuss. I really do love that segment.
It's great. I think the theme song is one of the better parts about it.
That beginning sounds like the Uncut Gems soundtrack or something, like the very beginning. That's what it,
oh, yeah.
On Yatrix Point Never or something along those lines. It's very...
I thought that movie, too much swearing.
Yeah.
I agree. I walked out. I only saw that very beginning with the score, and then I jotted that down. I said, remind me to bring this up on Radio Pizza Party in some fashion.
I watched it at home on Netflix, and I went to my building's laundry room. I couldn't stand to be around it. My girlfriend's finished watching it. I just sat down.
You just paced in there.
Yeah, I was so mad.
Steaming.
Yeah.
Well, we have a big... Shall we go to our announcement?
We have a big announcement.
Yeah.
Do you want to play the theme song for that?
I'll play the theme song for our big announcement. And Nathan, it's great to have you here for this big announcement. You can... this is preliminary stages in the planning, but we'd love your take on this. But here we go.
So we just want to announce...
Yeah.
Turn that down a bit.
Okay.
We just want to announce we're planning a massive live event. It's the Radio Pizza Party Extravaganza. We've booked a venue and everything.
Yeah, the venue's booked.
It cost a lot of money,
it was like
lie.
Almost 20 grand.
Yeah.
I had to lie and say I was doing another semester of school.
Yeah. It's going to be about... 251 people for us to turn a profit on this.
Really? Yeah.
So yeah, this is all about the money for us. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be a live radio pizza party.
250 people plus one.
Yeah, it's got to be at least 250.
We need a lot
people.
Of people for this to happen.
There's gonna be a meet and greet, so we're gonna hug and kiss all of our attendees.
Shake hands.
Yeah.
You know, get some good skin on skin.
Yeah, laugh
contact.
In each other's faces.
Yeah,
that's a thing that I really want to do. We're going to do a kissing booth. We have a llama for that.
Yeah, and that's
and
like
a real person
be like
after a, the llama's gone.
Yeah, there'll be like a buck and you just change. Kissing. Yeah, kissing booth.
We're going to have a see how far you can spit contest with a splash zone.
It's going to have a splash
some,
zone.
Like we were selling the, you know, the plastic sheets like in Niagara Falls.
Yeah, except that, I mean, they don't work, but that's kind of part of the fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think of this?
I think this sounds super fun. You guys should do it at YVR.
That'd
be a great idea.
A lot of people cycling through.
You just kind of get audience filtering in and out as much as possible.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Lots of, I mean, the thing is I think social, it's almost like, I'm thinking
people
of
need to get closer together.
Yeah, social closing.
Cohesion.
Yeah, cohesion.
Social cohesion.
And
people talk about going on Facebook all the time. People on Twitter.
Yeah.
Social media. It's not no excuse for hanging out with like a few hundred people in a small room.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be a small room too. People should not be able to kind of like
move
around.
I don't want a lot of personal space.
Yeah.
No, I want to like when you put your hand on the wall, there's condensation.
From
the bodies.
And putting your hands on surfaces is going to be encouraged.
It's going to be highly like we're going to have a raffle for who can put their hands on the most surfaces.
Yeah. Another thing.
I'll just run the theme song again.
Thank you. There's a lot to talk about with it. Another thing. No masks. I don't. I want to like
no Halloween masks.
No masks of any kind, surgical or otherwise.
Okay.
I want
to
really
say
get
surgical?
To know. Just thought popped into my head.
Just now. Okay.
I was watching Blade Runner the other day.
Yeah.
And then just the thought popped into my head that nobody should. I want to see people's faces. Really get to know them.
Yeah. I think like there's no real reason why people couldn't go to the bathroom and then attend the event. You know what I mean? So I don't think you need a washroom on site
That's
with like a sink
point.
Or anything. Like
the thing is, you know, like that hand sanitizer, and then you have like a cut on your hand.
Yeah.
Oh,
that really hurts.
I don't want that to happen to my worst enemy.
Yeah.
Let alone the people attending our show,
who are probably some of your best friends and fans.
Yeah.
So
keep them close.
Yeah. So we just want as many people as possible. Like, because if this doesn't happen. I don't know why this couldn't happen.
Yeah,
really,
I can't imagine a reason why this couldn't happen. But again, if it doesn't,
and if it did, it'd be a disaster for sure.
I'd have to sell my degree.
I don't know. To be honest, there were a few people I borrowed money from that I'm like, this is a bad idea.
They were shady characters.
Yeah. But I'm like, I know this is going to pay off. Yeah. This is going to, I'm going to book this space.
It's from here to Fallon is what we're thinking.
Go ideally. To Fallon?
Yeah.
Like Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's our,
you're
gonna
do
that's
the
our
podcast,
career
the show on Jimmy Fallon.
We need him to set aside about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I think that's the time we need minimum.
He'll just have to buy a bit of, is it like Carson Daly after? Just like get a bit of that guy's
Carson
slot.
Carson Knightley.
I know, that's what I've been sending letters.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
If only.
Yeah, me too.
So the date that's going to be on March 21st. I know it's coming up soon, but we figure now is the best time for a big event.
Big as possible. And it's just going to be fun. Just good old-fashioned fun.
Laughing. Mm-hmm. Opening your mouths.
Opening your mouths.
Yeah.
Nathan, do you think you're going to be able to make it? Or?
Absolutely, yeah. And I definitely want to, touch the mics afterwards when you're done recording.
Yeah,
just
good,
to see what's up with that, you know? Like,
yeah. We're going to put the mics fully in our mouths, too.
Oh, we're just going to... Well, like, because you're going to do that whole screamo set.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You got to get really in there if you want to pick it up all the way. And then we'll pass the mic around afterwards, too.
Yeah, just, it's like a, you know, like, it's like a, well, stage dive.
Yeah.
And I have been feeling a bit sick, but I think I'll be fine.
Yeah, I've got a low-grade fever and a really dry cough.
Yeah.
But that's not that
bad. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's happening. Please, please, we need.
How much are tickets?
Oh.
We should cut the price.
You think cut the price? I was thinking raise the price because people are going to really want to come to this.
That's true. Maybe like
30, 40 bucks?
Yeah, 30 bucks.
30 bucks?
Maybe 100.
100?
Raise it a bit more.
Oh, that's a big, big gap. Yeah. But I like it. I
think, over double, yeah.
I don't know. I
almost
think 100
triple. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I think 100 bucks is what people are willing to spend.
Yeah. I mean, that's to be honest, that's the only way we'll be able to afford this
without,
you know, getting into some.
You could say it was $20,000.
Yeah.
Well, come, please.
Yeah, please come.
I'll be there.
Thank you.
Can I be the guest again?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, of course. Cool. Of course.
We're going to have a lot of guests, too. From all over the world.
All over.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of Italians.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a guy from Spain coming, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got lots of good friends.
Yeah.
Thanks. Look forward to that, people.
Rad.
Well, why don't we go
to a QLB?
A QLB.
Let's make it brief.
Make it brief.
A quick, brief little break.
And then we'll be back and we'll continue this. This is such a fun vibe.
Yeah. We got some topical themed activities, too.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
So we're going to listen to some ads and we will be back to Radio Pizza Party.
Boom, boom, boom.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial, open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
This is Ira Glass of This American Life. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I have no idea what that means. Somebody just asked me to say this.
Do you have an approaching test or exam and need help studying? Well, it's time to prepare yourself. The Study Van, www.studyvan.com, is a 100% free website dedicated to helping you achieve excellence. MCAT, history, chemistry, French, math, biology, the Study Van covers it all. Tools are provided so you can create your own study group and do what you need to do. Ace your exam. The Study Van will help you help yourself. Give it a shot. You have nothing to lose, as once again, it's a 100% free studying resource. So remember, when you need to study, go to the Study Van, www.studyban.com.
Hello.
Hey.
You're listening to, what's it called again?
Radio Pizza.
Radio
Place?
Radio Pizza.
Calzone.
Radio
Calamity?
That's kind of cool.
That'd
the
be
Calzone
good...
Calamity. That's like a Guns N' Roses album title.
Yeah. I think that'll be a good name for something.
The Calzone Calamity. So this is radio on CITR 101.9.
We'll come back to it.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded territory of the Musqueam people here at UBC.
Yep, thanks for doing it that time. There's something we haven't mentioned on this show.
Well, first of all, who's here?
Oh, yeah, we have a guest. The wonderful stand-up comedian Nathan Hare is here.
Hey!
The thing with stand-up, like, every time you're funny, you have to get up out of your chair. Like,
yeah.
I've noticed that.
That's true. I am standing right now on a ladder.
They better all be laughing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you were saying.
So there's something that we haven't mentioned on this show that people have been talking about a lot today and recently. It's really world news. It's Friday the 13th today. That's something that was big to me. So we usually play a game of Would You Rather. Well, usually as in once in the last about 6 months. So we have a special one today. It's called Booed You Rather. We have horror movie themed
couple of horror movie. Once these this ad plays,
yeah. What's an ad for?
Oh, I don't want to give them more ads.
I don't know. I don't want to know what your weird recommended ads are.
So this is what would you say? Would you boo rather?
Would you rather?
Would you rather? Would you rather wanna burn me? Would you rather wanna see me fly?
So that was
wow.
I like that. That's a new remix of the theme song.
That's all. If you like that, all lowercase horror sound effect. That was what that.
That's the whole title
of the YouTube video. It's 4 minutes, I guess, of just that.
My dad used to have a CD of horror sound effects that would come out of the old case once a year. It was on Halloween. It'd be on the boombox outside of our house for the trick-or-treaters.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a you're aware of Would You Rather.
Mm-hmm.
It's one option, then another typically, and then you'd pick between them.
Yeah, long pauses in between.
You could do you can do both in some scenarios.
You can? Would you rather or both?
Yeah.
Or neither. I just would rather keep my life as is.
No, that's never an option.
What if it's too good, like $1 million or $1 billion?
I'll just keep with my consistent salary.
You're good.
We
yeah.
can play neither nor later.
Yeah.
But right now
neither
we're playing
nor.
Would you rather? The first one, would you rather have to fight Jason with Freddy's knife hand or Freddy with Jason's mask?
Fighting? Wait, no, am I answering this?
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll kind of go around. Yeah. We'll discuss, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I make the rules.
Oh, you're going to, okay.
For this one, and then yeah, Tristan, yeah. You and Nathan will.
So, Jason is the same. Does he have his patented machete along with knife hand?
He's holding it with the knife hand.
That's pretty.
But he can switch hands if he wants to.
Well, that's not what I was worried about. Was
what
is,
were you
is
worried
he ambidextrous? About? I'm saying he's going to be doubly deadly.
So he's right-handed. He has the knife hand on his right hand.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's swinging the machete with his left, he's going to be a bit unwieldy with it.
Mm.
But he's still got, you know, six knives total.
Oh, I forgot that Freddy only had one knife hand.
Yeah.
I thought he had
He's still
got
to grab things.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't he have two?
No, he's just got the one, I think. Right?
I feel like I'm picturing him being able to kind of like, that's more Wolverine, do the knives when he wants to do the knives.
Well, he puts on a power glove in Nightmare 5, I think.
No, he only has one knife hand.
He just has a knife that's constantly, or a hand that's constantly, like,
yeah,
knife.
Like so. It's like a glove.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, Jason has his knife hand.
Yes.
It's a bummer that he can never play guitar, really. Or can he take the knife?
He can take, it's a glove, yeah.
It's just a glove.
Well, that's not why he can't play guitar. He's just uncoordinated.
Uncoordinated, yeah.
Doesn't have the, you know, people have perfect pitch? He has...
He's got a tin ear.
Yeah, he's got a
tin ear.
Yeah. He's got
that's
no
why,
rhythm.
That's why he does
ear.
What he does.
Yeah. So Freddy's got Jason's hand. Yeah. No, Jason's got Freddy's hand.
Yeah, and then Freddy has Jason's mask.
What do you make of that?
He just has the mask? So
yeah.
He's really...
But he's still got his dream power.
Oh, he still has everything.
Yeah,
so
he still can't fall asleep.
So Freddy's... Okay, so basically, if you don't fall asleep, you're good.
Yeah, that's his whole thing.
So we probably should hit the Starbucks and...
Yeah.
Why didn't they just do that?
Caffeinated.
Like in those movies? Why didn't they just do that?
That'd be a good, like, ad for coffee.
Like, you know, the coffee lobby?
Yeah.
Just being like, hey, it's don't want to get...
Freddy can't get you if you're not... if you're not
awake.
Asleep. I don't know why. I was, like,
awake.
Looking for awake. That's the word I was looking for.
Awake is the common parlance.
I would never be able to... Do a spelling bee or whatever. Oh my god!
I like
a word finding bee.
A word finding
what's
bee.
What's the word for not asleep?
Oh, can you use it? Freddy will not get you if you're not awake.
Oh,
that
no.
Doesn't help at all.
So I'm gonna pick Freddy with the mask because I feel like that might obscure his vision a bit because he's not used to it.
That's true.
Whereas Jason
is kind of like touching things, trying to walk around.
Get over here.
Mask.
I can't do this on my own.
No, I'm never falling asleep. You can't. Well, that's what all the teens talk like. They're all like, no, Freddy, you won't get us.
Hey,
that's what Johnny Depp sounds like in that movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I picked that too.
Okay. Tristan, do you want to take the next one?
Okay. I'll take the next one. would you rather get psychoed or get Silence of the Lambed? Lambsed. Silence of the Lambsed.
Okay, wait. I feel like we need the descriptions of these two because I'm.
Yeah, there's. I've never seen Silence of the Lambs, but there's.
I've seen it, but I don't remember what.
Could you get eaten by Hannibal Lecter? Like, I know he's in the movie as a cannibal, but he never eats anybody in it.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, he kind of does.
He kind of
eats
like, someone.
Well, like, he is in the jail.
Because he ate somebody.
Because he ate someone. So there's also, like, he has a history. But then he gets out of jail. Spoiler alerts for Silence of the Lambs. He gets out of jail by ripping.
Everyone turns off their radios. This town is famously.
They don't like Jonathan Demme pictures here. He takes someone's like face off and wears it to look like a security guard or something like that.
Oh, right.
And then that's how he escapes. And then he phones the guy, oh, I'm having a friend for dinner. And then that's like the last scene.
Right.
So you assume he's going to start his eating people thing again.
So basically you're going to get eaten by him. Or would you rather... And then Psycho, I've seen that, but what is the...
You get stabbed in the shower?
So yeah, that's a big part of it. But Psycho's, yeah, she goes, gets stabbed in the shower. And then another guy comes and like investigates it. He falls down some stairs and then you find out...
So when we're getting psychoed, we're getting stabbed in the shower.
And then thrown down the stairs.
And then you also find out that the person who did it isn't the mother. It's also him.
It's also the guy getting thrown down the stairs.
No, no. It's the guy who you saw earlier in the movie who's like a kind of a weird guy.
Yeah.
Who his mother is him. He's his mother. He's pretending to be
there
his mother.
There is no mother.
Right.
In real life.
Well, there was a mother. Oh. But she had died at the point of this.
Okay.
This all would make sense if you were in the scenario.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
It's so one of those I find out that does he tell me before he stabs me that he's like, hey, by the way, my mom died a while ago. I'm doing this to cope.
Is that he's ripped the shower curtain and he.
Yeah.
Hey, before you get freaked out, I need to give you this information, and then I'll stab you. And then
don't worry about it. That's why in the movie she screams, and then it cuts to black. It says 5 minutes later.
Yeah.
And then he starts stabbing her.
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have that.
You'd rather get that than
I'd rather get
eaten?
Stabbed than eaten alive.
Well, I never
I think
alive.
So.
I think that's a. I mean, at true. Best, I get my face ripped off.
Or at best, you solve a crime because there's also multiple characters
true,
in that
I
movie.
I could be Jodie Foster.
Oh, watch. That's true. Yeah, you could be jogging in a gray sweatshirt.
Yeah. I saw her in real life once.
What?
She was sitting in a restaurant. She wasn't jogging in a sweatshirt. She was sitting and eating.
Gray sweatshirt?
She was eating a gray sweatshirt. That was the crazy thing.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Dang.
Loves those gray sweatshirts.
Yeah, so I would get psychoed, personally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to roll the dice on getting a happy ending out of that. I'd rather just die.
You
don't want to roll the dice
on a good thing happening to you, not like.
And end up being Buffalo ending. Bill and get shot in the face.
Or I wouldn't want to be Buffalo Bill because he does some bad things.
That's true. But he has fun while he's doing them.
That's
from his perspective, he's doing the right thing.
The right thing, yeah.
One man's terrorist, right?
This is the right thing to do, from my perspective.
Yeah,
it's all relative.
Yeah,
I'm a freedom fighter.
It is like one of those things, those like cubes where you like one side's black, one side's white, and like depending on what side you
angle.
Look for, the angle you look at it.
And then with a light beam, the rainbow.
is it a beautiful woman or an old lady?
Yeah. Is it
so
good
true.
To do all these things that Buffalo Bill does, or is it bad? You know, who's to say?
Maybe this woman wants to live in a hole in the ground and get lotion lowered to her in a basket.
Yeah.
That's what he thinks.
Do you want to take the last one here?
I'll take the last one. Would you rather say Candyman 5 times or watch all 3 Candyman movies 5 times?
Honestly, at this point, I'm looking to kill a few days, so I'd probably just watch the movies. Yeah. What do you think?
So when you say Candyman 5 times, does the Candyman appear?
Tony Todd, the Candyman, kills you with a hook.
Mm.
It's like...
So you're either dying or consuming film for a while.
Yeah, but you aren't allowed to get up for any reason.
What?
Whoa.
I forgot to mention that part.
So you can't go to eat.
Yeah.
You can't go to like go to the bathroom or anything.
Yeah, no.
What? How are we watching this at home? In a theater?
You have an hour to prepare, and then wherever you are at the end of that hour, you're locked in.
Oh, so you want to make sure you're where you need to be? Because if you're like on the street, like from going back from the grocery store because you got a bag of chips.
Yeah.
If you're
on the bus home, you're riding that bus to the depot overnight.
But you have an hour to prepare to get to your preferred location.
Yeah.
So it could be an hour radius from where you currently are.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you can you can Uber.
Go? You can't?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, you can. Okay.
You can Uber, yeah.
So you can go pretty far in like a car.
But again, you're going to be in that guy's Uber for a long time. And that could hurt his rating if there's a guy watching Candyman pooping himself in his Uber.
Yeah.
Oh, you're saying that you could... schedule an Uber, be like, sorry, I'm stuck here now, and then he goes about
as...
he just what is he not picking up any more trips or is
well,
he just sort of or...
I mean he can try, but there's gonna be a guy watching Candyman in his Uber the whole time.
Wow. If you were at a bar or something like that, we should call an Uber, and then you got in and then there was someone else in the car watching Candyman. That's actually not that bad. It's not that inconvenient.
No, but what if you're coming home and it's late at night and then now someone's watching a scary movie?
Yeah.
Beside you, you might be like, huh.
Wearing headphones?
Yeah.
Or not. I don't know. I'm picturing
you can
like
bring
a laptop. Or like...
You could also bring a VR headset if you really want to.
I was thinking of those. Did you ever get those ones that like Velcro around the seat in front of you when you were a kid?
No.
It was a portable DVD player.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember like my friend had a dad had a. Hummer.
Your friend, your dad.
My friend, dad. We all just called him dad. He had a Hummer. And they had like a a thing, like a screen in the front of the car, as well as like on the back of the seats. It was just like this whole system.
The driver could watch a movie?
Yeah. And he would, his dad would play Family Guy and drive around town. Family Guy playing.
Just to get out of the house. He's like,
just to get out of the house.
It's like, God damn it, Lisa, I gotta go for a drive.
I'm hanging out with Peter and the gang.
And the youths.
And the youth.
So I also a thing just quickly about Candyman, like is he kills you with a hook, but he also has bees.
Yeah,
I don't understand the case.
He was killed by bees.
Is that true? Then why does he have a hook?
The movie's a bit muddy on that, but the bees in the movie, he is a slave and he has a relationship with a white woman.
It goes back that far. I thought it was like a.
In the second and third, it gets a lot into it.
Okay.
He is killed for having a relationship with a white woman, and they slather honey on him, and he's stung to death by bees.
What?
Yes.
Interesting.
That is the... I can't remember his actual first name.
Oh, that's actually... I thought the Candyman was very, like, nebulous.
No, it's also got a lot of social commentary in the first one. Like, it's set in housing projects.
I actually might want to watch these movies, then.
The first one's really good.
I want to check it out. How many... We have to watch them five times?
Yeah. Or
three?
So you'll really know it by then.
Yeah.
Man. You have to watch all three movies five times. And then...
In any
you
got
to do it now, because they're making a remake. And if that's out by the time, you got to watch that one five times, too.
Can I do one five times, two, five... Or do I have to go one, two, three,
you gotta
one,
go,
two, three, one,
you,
two, three...
At least four of them you have to do in order. The last one you can do whatever order you want.
Okay, so I can rewatch what I liked more. Okay.
More and more, I'm like, we should just do this. I might just watch all the Candyman movies five times in an Uber. Yeah, driving around town. Yeah.
Yeah.
Screw it.
They should change his name, though, to the B-Man.
It's true.
Just an idea.
Yeah. And the tagline of the movie where it could be like, buzz, buzz.
Oh,
I like that.
Be like, this ain't the honey that you've been wanting to text.
Yeah.
Nice.
Or it could be like, this isn't your honey from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Yeah. This is honey from bees, and he's the bee man.
Yeah.
Candy man. Or sorry, bee man. None of your beeswax.
There you go. Uh-huh. No, it could be like, Candy man. Make it your beeswax to attend the premiere.
The premiere.
Yeah. Watch Tony Todd put his hands into the cement.
Or what about a B-man? Not the spelling B you want to do, participate in. Use it in a sentence.
There you go.
Or, I don't know.
What about this? B-man. Not your Seinfeld's B-movie.
Oh.
B-man.
Your Seinfeld.
Not this ain't your Seinfeld's B-movie.
Yeah.
B-man. Despite the title, this isn't a B movie. It has quite the budget. Because it's like a big Hollywood production.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Good to have that in there.
You got to clarify that this is a good
movie. They did the same thing for Cheaper by the Dozen. They were like, despite the title, this movie was expensive to make.
Steve Martin's in this.
Yeah.
His agent is a tough bargainer.
I remember I got in an argument about that movie. Is that because I thought, because it makes sense for it to be called Children by the Dozen.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, whenever that movie came out, people being like, oh, it's called Cheaper by the Dozen. I'm like, no, it's not. It's Children by the Dozen because he has a lot of kids.
And Cheaper by the Dozen makes it sound like he bought them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. We bought 12 kids.
It opens at a child market. That would be a bleak start to a family
car. Yeah, that. Interesting. Children by the Dozen?
It's another.
Sounds crazy.
But it's about them having a lot of kids, right?
Yeah.
Is it like, no? No, it is. Yeah, that was. I remember like thinking too. I remember even like as a kid watching that, I was like, 12 isn't that many kids. I was like, they should have made it like 20.
Yeah.
I remember thinking like.
By the 100.
Yeah, I was like, that would have been interesting to have like that many. But it's like they weren't trying to. The whole point.
And you're there with your 11 brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And you're like, this isn't even a lot of kids.
It doesn't even look like our dad. And we don't have twins in our family. And that nobody skateboards either.
I thought this was a documentary.
And that's Steve Martin. That's not that's not a dad. That's Steve Martin. Where's the arrow?
Our dad is Martin Short. And he's nice to us.
Is that the whole point of Cheaper by the Dozen? Is that he's a mean dad?
I thought he was cheap.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't. I don't know if I have.
I've seen this so many times.
All this talk about Children by the Dozen.
You can't pull up like scenes or anything, right? I mean, there's one scene I really like from it. I think it's on YouTube, but I don't want to force my hand on this show.
Okay, what,
copyright strike.
We only have a few more minutes, but let's close it out with this.
Look up Cheaper by the Dozen latte. I think it's about
my latte. 30 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get some sound. Okay.
This is great because two of us
can't
see.
Yeah, sorry, I realized that.
Okay, so they're walking to a school.
I heard you were dissing my family. I don't even know your family, loser. You do now.
Oh, I like that. This is great. This kid knocks a latte out of the guy's hand, and his first thing is, my latte!
I love everything about that, because it's like Sum 41 in the background. All the kids, obviously you couldn't see it, but they're dressed so early 2000s.
Backwards hat, big like basketball jerseys.
Four of them in basketball jerseys.
They all look like, none of them are playing basketball. They're all carrying skateboards.
Yeah.
And then the reference to my latte is so one of those jokes that's like in a kid's movie for parents.
Yeah.
And the way that he says it, like it doesn't sound like...
Yeah, no kid's drinking a latte.
No, absolutely
like 8 years old.
Yeah. And it was totally like the rise of early coffee culture. And then I also love, like, if you could just see the director giving that kid like the line read so many times, because he's like, my latte. It's like, and you have to this is how you pronounce latte.
Yeah. Be mad.
Great scene. Thanks for indulging me.
Yeah, of course.
Reminded me so much of Max Keeble's Big Move, which is a movie deserves its own episode.
I liked the animated stuff, I think, when I was a kid. I think that was my thing.
Oh, cool.
You can't leave the house for 2 weeks in the next little while,
I don't know why.
I watched Max Keeble's Big Move. It's got an early Josh Peck in it.
You guys should do a separate show. Obviously, this format is great. You do a podcast where you...
He was gritting his teeth when he said that.
This format is great.
You guys are so good at this.
But like, I don't know why I'm pitching you this idea.
No,
but
I like
you should watch all these movies. Show Tristan all these
the early 2000s
of the classics that you haven't seen.
I think we need another movie podcast in the world.
Two white dudes doing a podcast about film, I think, would be excellent.
Great idea.
But the thing is, it's different because it's us, and we're the protagonists.
It was actually funny.
Yeah.
We'll be funny.
We'll be funny.
We'll tell anecdotes about our life. We'll be good. Talk about where we were when we first heard of a movie.
Oh, yeah. All this good stuff.
Well, we should wrap up.
We're about
up
reaching
here.
The end of our time here, but thank you, Nathan, so much for being on the show. Hey, I know you at Soda Fountain every month. Tell us about it.
Yes, I run a show called Soda Fountain at Little Mountain Gallery. It's a variety show where you have sketch, stand-up, and improv. Great guests. It's the second Saturday of the month at Little Mountain Gallery, Maine, and 26th here in Vancouver, BC. The next one is tomorrow, March 14th, 9 p.m. Come check it out.
Yeah, they are very funny. I've been to it a few, and I always am like... But no, in all honesty, it's always one I'm like, damn, it's a very fun show. So
thank you.
Yeah, so if you're listening, please check it out. If you can't tomorrow, I'm sure every month, you said.
Yeah,
every month. So check out next month if you're not able to make it.
Yeah,
tomorrow.
And check out Radio Pizza Party next week, same time.
Yeah. And I'm sure nothing will be
nothing
in the way
come
of that
between that. We'll be on no matter what.
Yeah, try to stop us. All right,
bye
bye.
You say you like the wind blowing through your hair. Well, come on, roll with me till the sun goes down. Texas sun. Say you wanna hit the highway while the engine roars.